You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The focus is on race and privilege as hundreds of people gather in Grand Rapids for the 19th annual White Privilege Conference. It's happening tomorrow through Saturday. And here with us now is the executive director of the Privilege Institute, Eddie Moore Jr. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
What is the mission of this conference, Eddie?
The mission of this conference is really to create a space and place where we're talking about issues beyond diversity, diversity at a high level. So we believe and committed to exploring issues of diversity and bringing folks into the conversation, but we think there needs to be an additional space for the tough conversations related to power, privilege, and leadership. And that's what this conference is committed to and what the space has been designed to do.
So take us deeper into some of the issues and topics that you want to have explored during this week's conference.
Yeah, well, more specifically, one of the top issues is white supremacy, is the understanding of white supremacy, its design since its early existence in our nation, and what that looks like today, recent to things like Charlottesville. So the subject matter of white supremacy, as well as white privilege, which is some of the remnants of what extends from a organization designed with a belief in white people being supreme, white supremacy, is people who may not believe in that philosophy still may get the benefits of the structures designed in that way. So the understanding of white privilege, as well as privilege in general, our motto is everybody has privilege, and we believe that folks are just impacted in very different ways. So a lot of our workshops look at gender privilege, religious privilege, ability privilege. So we really work hard to cover the conversation of privilege comprehensively.
And I have to imagine that some of these conversations can get difficult because you probably have people who don't see that privilege because it's so much, it's been a part of their life since the moment they've been born.
Absolutely. But that's what we take pride in, is trying to create a space where tough conversations can happen. It's like fitness. I mean, only few people can go to CrossFit fitness class. But, you know, some folks like their fitness at that high level, at that tough level. And so that's really kind of the framework that I approach, just like in any curriculum when we're teaching and learning our kids or even at the college level. There are certain classes that are just tough classes that not everybody can take. And so the idea here is to create a space and place where we can have conversations that are tough around diversity, that go beyond diversity, but we do it with a foundation of love. We're not attacking people. We're not committed to degrading, demeaning people. We're not saying white people bad. That's not anywhere in any of the things that we do. We are saying white supremacy is bad. White cultural dominance, frameworks designed in those limited, narrow ways, and sometimes even destructive ways, absolutely those are bad. And so we're trying to create the kind of space where we can have those tough discussions, those tough conversations, not agreeing all the time, not to say it's going to be kumbaya, but to actually enter into that with a foundation of love, community, and family, and be okay disagreeing, but at least feel like we had the tough conversation.
Eddie, what do you say to people who resist or don't want to have those kinds of conversations?
Well, two things. I'm not spending my time with the most resistant folks anymore. It's just not healthy. I've learned there's some pancakes you'll never flip over. Not that I'm not having conversations, I'm willing, but I completely understand now there are some folks who just won't make any movement, won't budge when it comes to this topic. And what I'm saying to them, hey, I appreciate where you're coming from, but at some point, I got to let that conversation go. What I'm willing and interested in talking with and being a part of is environments of people that, again, they're not going to always agree with everything that I say, but they're at least willing to have the conversation. And so I think that we have had too much time in our nation where we've been divisive and segregated. And so what I'm trying to create at this conference is a kind of space where we can be in disagreement, but we still are family, we're still community, we're still able to grapple with tough topics with a foundation of love, and still leave in relationship, in friendship, and partnership.
Eddie, who are the kinds of people who attend these conferences? I know this is your 19th one. You've been all over the country, and here you are in West Michigan. Who comes to these conferences?
Yeah, one of the things that makes the conference great is we get a diverse group of people. I mean, the diversity is racial, across different racial identifiers. It's also across other kinds of identifiers as far as class, as far as gender, as far as religion. And we also get a mix of people coming from different sectors, as well as including things like education, of course, higher ed, K-12, but as well as folks coming from corporate, as well as nonprofits. So it's a good mixture of people in many different ways. And we're one of the few conferences that also has young people, high school kids, learning about this topic as early as, you know, ninth grade. So we wanted to create a space that gives young people, if they're ready, an opportunity to explore some tough topics as well. So we are fortunate that we get a good mixture of folks coming from a variety of places, of course, across the nation, but also across the world. And I think that that actually allows for the conversation to be even richer because we have such a diverse group of people grappling with it.
We are talking on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. What do you imagine that Dr. King would think or say if he could stand among us right now in the United States of 2018?
Well, I really believe that Dr. King would be an acknowledgement of some progress. I mean, particularly coming off of or seeing our first multiracial or black president and President Obama, but also, I mean, recently seeing some of the resurgence of white supremacist groups in the public sector of our public society, publicly, you know, really giving some attention to their cause, I think would be something that he would, I think, would have thought would have ended in those times that he was out on the streets just fighting for basic human treatment. So when I think about the 50th anniversary, is I feel like this is the topic that Dr. King was really beginning to turn his attention to and really begin to tackle and grapple with head on. White supremacy, issues of class, but also how people of different groups and backgrounds can come together and have this conversation beyond, you know, can we just sit at the restaurant and have dinner together, which is important, and it took some real sacrifice to get that, but that's not where we stop. We got to now look at systems, organization, institutions, and really making them a more inclusive place, but also a more accessible place for power, privilege, and leadership, and people from all backgrounds to be in those positions.
Eddie Moore Jr. is Executive Director of the Privilege Institute, holding the 19th Annual White Privilege Conference, running Wednesday through Saturday in Grand Rapids. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate y'all. Take care. Thanks for the time.